This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you every week at this time for worship with us.
Father in heaven, we so often sing, Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man. Today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, realizing that you are our King. We pray, Lord, that during the days that we are here on this earth, that may be your place in our lives. For we know that ultimately, when you return again, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, in these days of preparation for your coming, either to receive us in death or at the end of the world, may our souls be prepared through Jesus Christ our Lord to meet you. In your name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, this is the last Sunday in the church year, commonly known as Christ the King Sunday. Next Sunday is the beginning of the new church year. It'll be the beginning of the Advent season, that time of 4 weeks where our souls are being prepared for the coming of the Christ child. Now, we who live in the New Testament period have the privilege of understanding what was happening when Jesus was born, and while he lived here on this earth, what was going on, and that we can anticipate the day when he will return to judge the living and the dead. It is no longer just a poor story that a wee little boy was born in a manger, but rather that babe was Christ the Lord. They didn't know it then. Not even Mary and Joseph had full understanding of what was going on, and they had received special revelation. But today, after all of these years of preaching the gospel, we know that that is the incarnation, the coming of God to this earth. But I think it is better understood when we have, as far as this world and his relationship to it is concerned, the pretty much completed biography of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. The King came and walked among the people, but very few received him as their Savior and Lord. You could divide his earthly life into two parts. The first 30 years, he was the carpenter at Nazareth. And people came to his shop without a doubt and got their supplies and asked him to do what he had to do, and they went on their way. But then it came that Sabbath day when Jesus went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he announced to them who he was. He told them that he was the Son of God and the promised Messiah. He told them his mission. At least in part, he gave them an understanding. From that time on, hostility rose, and he suffered nothing but persecution and crucifixion until he hanged on Calvary's cross. But then came the resurrection, and God brought him forth from the grave. 40 days after that, as a victor over sin, death, and the devil, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. But just before he went, he said to his disciples, that few people, "Now you go and tell the gospel to all the world, because one day I will come again to judge the living and the dead." And those words we rehearsed every Sunday morning in liturgical churches when we together confess our faith in the words of the Apostle Creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. He is coming again, friend. He is coming again. And this is where we are today. The world lives on, anticipating only that all things will continue as they are and hopefully get better and better and better. Oh, we'll have our tough times as we have had during the past few weeks and months, where we'll see the economy falling apart and all the rest. But there'll be the good days too, they say, and it'll be even better. And we'll learn, and we'll get wiser, and we'll have more knowledge, and we'll capture disease and the killers that are here today. And that's as far as they can go when it comes to the future. Talk to so many people and ask them, what do you think the future has in store for you? It stops right with the last breath. And perhaps all they can really say, at least many of them, is, I'll take my chances on what's beyond it. But not so with a Christian. The Christian anticipates. That is, he looks forward to the future and makes preparation for it. That does not mean that I want to die right away, not even as my years are advanced in age. I'd like to stay here and see a few more things happen. But I can anticipate the future, that day is going to come when Jesus will either come and receive me in death and bring me into the heavenly habitations by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, or I would be one of those who will be here when he comes again. And that's what our text is all about today. This is not some weird, emotional dream of unstable people. This is the heart and the core of the Christian faith, though some now would seek to explain it away in the light of advanced theological interpretation. That's not the case, friend. This is not even a parable, as Professor Edge of Europe says, but it is a heavenly scene. Just take a look, and I want to go over some of the text with you. It is found in Matthew 25, and I would urge you, if you have a Bible near at hand, to pick it up and follow along. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? But when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And then the king, King Jesus, will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And you whisper, salvation by works? We'll come back to this, but let's go on to the last part of this. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They all will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And then King Jesus will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Just take a look at that word from none other than Jesus Christ himself, as it is recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he's going to separate the people one from another. Whoops, there go the universalists. Out they go. All of the things that you tried to do in love, I believe, in charity. You just wanted to twist and turn this a little bit. But here it stands written in the bold print of God's holy word. The sheep will be on the right and the goats on the left. And Jesus Christ will not be a babe lying in a manger, but he will have been brought to the exalted position of honor. St. Paul says it so well in his letter to the Philippians chapter 2, on that day when our Lord returns again, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, once again, who are those on the right? They are those who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their faith in him caused them to do many mighty works for those who are a part of this world. Look where the church has gone, friend. Let's be positive. They have gone to the far corners of the earth. And today, men and women in all parts of the world are confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's true that some of them have yet to hear. Some of them are told that it is not true. Many right here in the United States of America have families who would not take the time out to help them understand a little bit better what God is all about because they themselves do not know, for they have not been taught. But the church has done a lot, and they have cared for those who are hungry, and they still are, and they care for those who are hurting, and they built the hospitals, and they cared for those who were created in God's image with a great deal of talent, and they built the colleges and the universities. Some of the greatest in the world started first by the church. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew what he was talking about. He still realizes that it is only a minority. But let us never say that the church is dead. And let us never say that they led all of them to a deaf ear as far as Christ was concerned. No, many of them heard, and they heard well, and they laid down their life, and they're laying it down today for the cause of Jesus Christ. But who are those on the left? They are those who don't care about Christ, who think they are their own Savior, who think that they'll make it somehow if there is such a thing, that all people are going to be there, and there is far more than just the Christ of Bethlehem's manger. They go on to let the people live and die as they accumulate more and more for their own wealth and care little about those who are in real need. If those people had been around, there would not have been a hospital. There would not have been an outreach to the poor. Let them go, let them go. They are the ones who just turned their back on Christ. And at that time, and remember, this is a day of grace. This is a day when it can be changed if I'm preaching to you through God's holy word. You can change, you can repent, you can turn to Christ Jesus and receive him and then live according to his will. Not too late. Never is. God loves you as much as he ever did. But at the end, there will be a separation. Now you say, well, it says here that we did these things and that's how we're saved. No, here is a good place where Scripture interprets Scripture. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the message that has been in the Word of God from the beginning until the end. The prophets proclaimed it. The psalmist declared it. The evangelist proclaimed it again. And Jesus Christ himself said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. But when Jesus Christ has captured our hearts and we trust him and thus are among the saved people of God, then that faith bears fruit. The faith is judged by our works. Remember what James said? Faith without works is dead. And so we confess on the basis of subject of the Scripture with the whole Christian church today, the whole Christian church. Again, this is not a radical sectarian message. This is a message of the Church of Jesus Christ, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Christ is coming again. You can anticipate that and anticipate it with great joy as you make your preparation by receiving him, the Savior and the Lord. We now have the biographical sketch of our Lord. Yet a prophet told of his coming, and he came to Bethlehem. He lived in Nazareth for 30 years. He walked up and down Judea and Galilee for 3 years. The last 2,000 years, his church has been proclaiming the gospel in word and in deed. He's coming again. These truths we receive in faith as they are given to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Now, what do you say about it? Well, if it's all left to human reason, I join you. There are many questions. I don't understand them. I don't understand, for example, this whole picture of the world in front of him and Christ on the throne and every knee bowed. As one of my confirmation class asked me one time, would bad people like Joe Stalin and Adolf Hitler be there? And I said, well, it says, the nations shall bow before him. Yeah, they'll be there. And so will others. People who are great names on the face of this earth in the faith will all be there, but then there'll be the separation. The time element, When is it all going to happen? Who knows? Jesus said, all is necessary is that you know that I'm coming back. Oh, I think he would say, if you want to toy around with the puzzle, go ahead and do it. But just remember, this is the basic truth, that he's coming back. And there'll be a separation. For those who trust him will spend eternity with him, and those who do not trust him and die that way will hear the words that we have read this morning. Go away to eternal punishment. And those are the words of a loving Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is a judge. He has all the answers, and we have to leave it to him. It is not to any human being to do the judging. We leave it to our Lord. What he will do, he will do. He has simply told us, in very general terms, what will happen. Let the revelation stand, but do not try to reinterpret it. So that is the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus in a biographical sketch. It is the inspired Word of God. And now next Sunday, Advent will begin, and we'll hear the message all over again as we begin to think about bowing at Bethlehem's manger with a better understanding that we know how it all turned out. But not quite yet. We'll only know after he has come again. Amen. Thank you. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God, Son of man, you came, Lord Jesus, to humble yourself and to take our sins upon us that we could anticipate the day when we would see you again as that Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. May we live and may we die in peace, knowing that this is not the end, but for those who died trusting in you, it is only the beginning. May that comfort those who are sick, those for whom death draws nigh, and those for whom mourn, but the loved one died trusting in you. Be with us, Lord Jesus. Give us grace to proclaim this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders wishes you and your loved ones a blessed Thanksgiving. As we give thanks this week for the rich blessings God has bestowed on us, we also give thanks for you, our Christian Crusaders listeners. As you travel to be with those you love, may God bless your way. You may find it convenient to make a gift to our ministry on our website. It's fast, easy, and secure. Donations of up to $500 can be made via credit card at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available by calling 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.